When I was a dorm parent on Schmalzy last year, anytime I would have food for a dorm function, I would oftentimes burst out of my apartment and say something like, "Fear not, Schmalzy, everything is fine, because I am here." At first, this started as a joke, as a parody of a show where the catchphrase came from, but it quickly became a kind of rallying cry for the dorm, Exhibit A. What essentially started as a funny way to get the dorm excited for an event turned into something that brought the dorm together over laughter, pride for the dorm, and of course, delicious food. After a while though, something about this phrase struck me. It wasn't about feeling self-important or showing off. I wanted to be a presence that influenced people in a positive way. This is precisely what I try to work towards every day. I've had many teachers over the years, some of whom were instrumental in shaping who I am today. But there only have ever been three people who stood out among them. My sensei, David Machin, my mentor of philosophy, Ashok Gangadin, and when I got to see the Dalai Lama speak during my study abroad at the University of Hawaii. While I didn't get a chance to personally study with the Dalai Lama, there was something about him and these other two teachers that were markedly different from anyone else. There was a presence, an aura that surrounded them. When you made eye contact with them, their eyes radiated an aliveness and a depth that gave you the impression that they knew something about the universe and about life that you didn't. It was upon feeling this presence when I first met these two teachers that a voice inside me said, "I have to study with this person." When I arrived at Haverford College in 2009, I knew I wanted to study philosophy, but never even considered being an educator. In fact, I had my sights set on going to med school. Things started to change during my sophomore year of college. A semester of organic chemistry was only partly the reason for my existential crisis. That was the year I took a course on Buddhist philosophy with Professor Ashok Gangadin. When he walked into the room on that first day of class, there was this wave of calmness, awareness, and wisdom that entered the room. I don't know if anyone else felt it, and you may just chalk it up to me being delusional, but this was the same feeling I got when I first met Sensei Machin and my intuition told me to study with him. And when I did, it changed my life. Professor Gangadin didn't just teach me the content of his course, he offered a framework for thinking about the world in a way that I had been searching for. It connected so many of the ideas I had thought about and had gone far beyond them. I'm not sure why it didn't seem as profound to some of my peers, perhaps because they felt it was too abstract or difficult, but I suspect that whatever the depth of your being lacks, that is what it searches for. I'd studied many religions and philosophical traditions up until that point, but they all seemed to be missing something. This teaching, which was more of a shift in perspective than a doctrine or belief, was a manner of thinking and a way of being that connected all of them in a logical, meaningful, and cohesive way. Any student who has had me in class would know this as the single and double bracket presentation. However, since I don't have a whiteboard or 30 minutes, I'm not going to talk about that concept here. I introduced all of that because I wanted to share something that Gangadin had said to me. Anytime I would meet with him and ask him for advice, for how to deepen my study of philosophy, for how to live in the world with more awareness and mindfulness, he would often say, "Keep holding the space." Intellectually, I think I understood. He wasn't saying to keep my distance from others, but rather to maintain my space of awareness and sensitivity to how present I am in my experience of the world. In other words, to keep paying attention to my body, speech, mind, and surroundings. In Japanese philosophy, it's the idea of mushin and zanshin. Mushin means a state of flow, when your mind is clear, unobstructed by thought. Zanshin is a state of alertness and pure attentiveness to the here and now. Think of it like being an athlete, completely in the zone, attentive to everything that's happening, yet responding without having to think about it. But to be honest, this advice seemed pretty unsatisfying at the time. I wanted something more tangible, And perhaps I thought I just wasn't ready for the next stage. But even after graduating, he continued to tell me to hold the space. It wasn't until a few years ago that I think I finally understood what he meant by that. But in order to explain it, I need to backtrack a little. In his chapel talk earlier in the year, Mr. Roach introduced us to the importance of finding our calling. Here's how it happened for me. In the second semester of my sophomore year, I took a course on Zen Buddhism with Gangadin. I was one of five sophomores in a class of mostly juniors and seniors. That winter, we had what we called the snowpocalypse. On the next day that our class was supposed to meet, Gangadin sent the class an email saying that although he could not attend because of the road conditions, he still wanted us to meet to discuss the text we were reading at the time, a treatise by Zen Master Dogen. That wasn't all, though. I had another email in my inbox from him. At first, I thought it was a duplicate, but when I read it, I saw that he was asking me to lead the class and to call him about it. With only 10 minutes until the start of class, I took out my phone and called him. And he said that since I had previous training in Zen, and since I took Buddhist philosophy with him the prior semester, he wanted me to lead the class on their discussion of Dogen. I walked in front of the classroom, looked around, and said, "Guys, Professor Gangadin wants me to lead class today." It took them showing the email he sent me as proof to convince them that this upstart sophomore would be teaching the class. I had no idea what I was doing. There were no lesson plans, no activities prepared, no crash course videos, no opening discussion questions, and no PowerPoints. There I was, an introverted, somewhat shy 19-year-old who had never done public speaking before, now standing in front of a room of 30 people, and was expected to lead them in a meaningful discussion on some of the densest material in Zen Buddhism. Something weird happened, though. As soon as we started talking about it, I lost all doubt, worry, and feelings of self-consciousness. As I started asking questions, offering interpretations to the text, and explaining the double brackets, I was just in the state of flow, sensitivity, and awareness, mushin and zanshin. After the class ended, I sat down in the empty classroom, just taking in the zenergy of the moment. I had never felt this before. What was this strange feeling? To this day, I understand that sensation as the feeling of being called to do something, the call to serve. It was at that moment that I realized that I was being called to teach. Sometimes you don't find your calling. Sometimes it finds you. The thought of going into class each day and getting to discuss complex philosophical questions with many of you is what gets me up every morning. I am fueled by your questions, your curiosity, your confusion, your openness to learning. But it's even more than that. For me, being a teacher means embodying this same presence, wisdom, and aliveness from my mentors that inspired me. This extends to a snippet of my own moral philosophy. I have to be that light of awareness, that spark of truth, a beacon of hope, and a source of inspiration for others. If I don't do it for myself and for those around me, then who will? As the Dalai Lama said, if you think you're too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito in the room. We can either inspire others with our actions, or we can influence them in a way that doesn't bring out their best. Many a saint and philosopher have admitted that humanity too often gives in to laziness and self-interest. But if you are to fulfill the way that is within you, you must be disciplined and exercise the freedom you have to decide how fully you will live your own life. If I have understood Gangadin's advice of holding the space, it means to be a presence in the world to show others that a new way of living is possible, to live an awakened, self-actualized life that radiates compassion, wisdom, understanding, and grace. It took me a few years, but this is the understanding I have reached at this current moment in my life, based on my experiences and efforts to embody the wisdom I know to be true. But I know I have a long road ahead in my own philosophical journey. So when I say, I am here, it's a reminder that I need to show up and give it my all in each and every moment, because I am acting not just for myself, but for the world. But I don't want people to get the impression that this state of being is beyond them or out there somewhere. I don't think our great teachers throughout history and across the planet came to incite violence or gather a following behind them for their own self-gratification. I've always preferred interpreting our great wisdom teachers as exemplary human beings who were trying to awaken others to the power of self-transformation that exists in the heart of every human being. As psychologist Charlotte Buehler stated, all we can do is study the lives of people who seem to have found their answers to the questions of what ultimately human life is about as against those who have not. So I invite all of you to hold the space, to be that ray of hope and inspiration for someone else, and strive towards an awakened, examined, mindful life. If you spend time working to improve yourself, searching for what gives your life meaning, and staying loyal to your best self, then you can confidently show your authentic true self to the world and say, I am here.